Thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson. We're going to continue listening to Brandon Johnson's interview. This is part two, the conclusion. You will be blessed by his story. Enjoy.
To me, because you would have to, if you give me the game you're saying, we can identify this. We can fight this.
Right.
So they send me 2 years, just like a kick in the face.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for the game you're accusing me of. So when all said and done, I'm standing in court. I get sentenced on March 1st when the case is all over. I go through my process. And I had never broke. I'm not a person that cry. I'm not a person that hang my head. You would never know I was going through this if I don't tell you. You know. Mm-hmm. So March 1st, I'm sitting in that courtroom, and they got cameras in there. It's 10 people in my case. Eight of these guys, I don't even know.
You don't even know.
They're coming out from the back in handcuffs. I don't even know this. The cameras are in there. It's a real...
It's a big case.
Oh, yeah. It's a national case because it's so many kids and so many people out here that have the opportunity to do this to that extent. You know, so...
And some do.
Yeah, yeah. Like my coach said, bad players have good games. Good players have bad games. It's hard to identify.
So they just say... He did it here.
Right.
And you're like, that's not true.
They had an informant. The people I'm in a case with, they was basically trailing these people for years.
Right.
So through that case, they had an informant that put in the case. He overheard something about gambling. He's there for something completely different.
Totally different.
Understand this. This man is out selling drugs while he's working for the FBI. The informant. So we get to a point where we're like, hey, his credibility, his words are not credible.
Done. Yeah.
So they bypass that. I'm like, this man is out here. So we go through another motion here, everything happens. But when it comes, I'm in that courtroom that day and I hear that judge just tearing me apart. I find out people from college and people families has written the judge letters, character letters for me. So wow. I was up to 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was up to 14 months and I don't know what's going on to that extent.
Right.
When I hear, I know the month thing, I'm like, hey, speak.
Yeah.
the microphone's in front of me. I tap my lawyer like, hey, you have to say something.
Yeah.
They got me up to 14 months. I'm like, but understand this, through my case, this is how I even got a sentence. I skipped over that. So I did an open plea. I don't sign with the government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sign with anything they've given me. I do an open plea. I say what I did, and they sign off. It only held probation.
Okay.
So I get to this courtroom. The judge speaks out and said, I know you signed off of this. The government signed off of that. But I get the last say so.
So the judge determined.
Oh, man.
So the judge was just like... Very difficult.
He looked at me like the Barry Bonds situation. It's a
he
quote.
Just judgment
right.
without
and understand this. I had a young lady, Carolyn Oliver. I talk to her daily. She owns an office in San Diego, a big time federal lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
She represents the mafia and things like that. And she was in the back. She said, she told me, this is I'm going too far. But so when he sentenced me to 6 months. And I knew I should never got anything.
Yeah.
But when I got older and learned the character, the integrity that I cost this school and the outlook of all this, I had to be an example for the country because there's so many people out here doing this.
Right.
So a lot of...
Like, don't even talk about it. And just because you spoke about it, we don't have any evidence on you.
Right.
But because you spoke about it and now it's implanted
They try to go through... They did their part going through games trying to see where did I do it. They couldn't find the exact
game. Because you didn't
do it. Right. But like I say, if you say you're going to rob a bank and then your words are under a magnifying... If everyone knew whatever they say would be under a magnifying... The FBI would get it and...
And it's like, it sounds to me, you were guilty by association.
Yeah.
Because they were getting some more stuff that had nothing to do with
it. No, I did my part. I did my part and I take full responsibility.
So when you
I reached
you
out.
Your part,
so
tell
basically,
me
what this is how. So when he asked me, he said, just vouch for me. So just say you're going to do it or just say you know me. They knew me and his connection. So with him having that connection with me, when they see me, they understood like he gonna do it. All he had to do is say something. You get what I'm saying? And they're gonna front the money. I don't have to implement anything in this.
You're not actually
but understand
doing it,
this.
But you're making people believe you're gonna do it.
So, like I said, I have my piece in this. So the older I've gotten, the 6 months was perfect for me. I appreciate the 6 months, you know. In the moment, in the moment of your storm, you're not saying, you're not completely going to be 100% honest with yourself. Okay. You're trying to beat something at the moment. So during that moment, I'm like, oh, this is wrong. But when I'm sitting in the prison cell, I'm like, yeah, you deserve it. And I came to terms with that, I appreciated it.
Because you didn't blame them. Like, if I wouldn't.
Yeah, and I had people like wanting me to be mad at such and such. And once I let that energy go.
Because you had to look within.
Yeah.
I always tell my kids, were you accountable?
Yeah.
Figure that out so then you can find a solution. Yeah. Because you can blame people all your life.
Yeah.
You know,
but you're going to live in a certain depression.
You're going
to
live in a certain
depression. And I give God so much glory for giving me that strength to be able to. I have an ability to literally detox myself from anything.
That's good.
And it's worked for me in my life. Like I said, that moment when I learned that ability, it was when I in college my freshman year. But like I said, I did my part in that case.
You did your part.
This is what the biggest thing that I wanted them to get and that anyone to get. Me point shaving. That would never happen.
He never did. Listen, people. He never point shaved anything.
Not once.
He had a conversation.
They kept labeling him as my coach. He wasn't my coach.
He was not your coach.
He was. Now he's like a friend. He was fired my sophomore year. The only reason why I didn't take this case to trial because when they have this conversation of me talking, I'm talking noise. Mm-hmm. This the part that gets you, though. I recruited a kid to do what I did. And that's where they hit me.
What do you mean?
Like, I recruited a kid to say, listen, just vouch for him. You don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do it. Just vouch.
Just vouch. That's
all. And so, okay, just so we understand, when you say vouch.
Meaning like,
who are you saying,
this is connected to the mafia.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, okay. So the mafia
is involved. Help me, I'm learning the story too.
So the mafia is involved in this. Okay. You get what I'm saying? So my
angle. So that's why people were informants, they were trying to figure out what
but
the heck was going on.
They was following the mafia.
I see.
Three or four years later.
Do you understand how blessed you are?
I'm
just saying because now, listen, I'm learning too, y'all. Do you understand how blessed you are?
Yes.
Because just to even say that word.
Yeah.
You know, like it really could have went a different way.
Yeah, it's definitely It's definitely
a story. I'm telling you, it's the website is Brandon's journey, and so it is.
It's definitely been a journey.
So okay, because you know we can talk for like 10 hours. So let's go into you get sentenced because pretty much you're like fine.
Right.
I'm not gonna be able to.
Right. I want to say the moment. So I was trying to bring it to the point where I was gonna break, and
that's right.
So they sentenced me. This is the first time my head went in my hands, and I'm running out the courtroom. It was this young lady, Carolyn Oliver. She had seen my case on TV when she was running out. Just so happened, this lady was in the courtroom, a black woman, and she watched them people take advantage of my life. And she represents the mafia, and she listened to my case, and she said she went to my lawyer and basically almost disrespected him. Because she watched that man not fight for me. You get what I'm saying? So when we got that courtroom, I had two friends there, my lawyer, and this lady came out of nowhere. And soon before I dropped my head in my hands, this lady was like, pick your head up.
Another angel.
Oh, man. I was done.
And God knew. Yeah. By yourself again.
I'm out there in this case by myself. And God knew right then and there. I was hit.
He already knew.
Yeah. I had gave so much. Understand, I don't look at it as college. I gave so much since 14 years old to my future.
To your future.
I've given everything to get to that point.
Now, this is how
I'm going. This is the conclusion of all that.
Yeah,
in 15 years, I make this journey. College.
And all of this.
All this.
Because you vouched. Boom.
And they wanted to say I had money. People's talking about offshore accounts. I'm going to hell at home.
Yeah.
I'm watching my family. And you know what's crazy? Through them years, I had to sit. I needed it because I left everyone.
Yeah.
I left so much behind in that time of process. But when I came home, it was like God said, here, everything go that you left behind.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for my son like I needed to be, for his mom. I wasn't there with my people.
So how old? Okay, so you go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you have to serve?
Yazoo, Mississippi.
In Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So you go to Mississippi.
I went to Houston first.
You came.
I made a mistake. I was a self-surrender. Supposed to turn myself into Mississippi.
But you did.
I turned myself into Houston. I walked in there at 7 a.m. in the morning, March 1st. And that officer said, we'll take you though. Okay. I was like, I suppose. He's like, you don't supposed to be here, but we'll take you. But if I don't go to Houston, I'm not ready for Mississippi. Houston Federal Prison is downtown, straight up in buildings.
Okay.
And the people I met, mm-hmm. I swear it was like the ghost of Christmas. I met three people. I was the only cell where people kept leaving. I would stay. I was supposed to be in transit.
Because they
that place I'm at is a transit center. So I'm in there with lifers, all kinds of people. The people I met, I swear it was like the ghost of Christmas. You know how the random people keep coming and teaching them something. Mm-hmm. And I met three different generations. I met a young kid. I met a middle-aged guy. And the last person was an old head, like an older person, where they taught me so many things too. And soon when that last man left, they called my name.
They call you
at 6 a.m. and say,
and so then
out.
You're transported to Mississippi.
Mississippi.
You get to Mississippi. What happens?
Oh, man. So, crazy thing is, they bring me to Mississippi and these people are overcrowded. Understand this, since I didn't turn myself into the right place, I had to wait 2 months. So I had bed space. I was supposed to be an outside camp. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be like in, I was able to roam mm-hmm. outside with no fence. Mm-hmm. I missed that because I turned myself into Houston. So when I get to Mississippi, they don't have bed space at the camp. They put me in solitary.
Oh, my Lord Jesus.
Yeah. So I knew about solitary. This is what broke me. I knew about solitary.
Because the people that...
When they first picked me up, they put me in solitary. I was in that orange outfit, and it bruised me. Mm-hmm. You know, because when they first picked me up, I had never been to prison. So they picked me up. All that stuff happened. The interrogation. They dropped me off. This is 6 a.m. all the way to about 10 p.m. They finally dropped me off, run me through. It don't hit me. I'm in prison. Mm-hmm. Until like the nighttime, I remember putting the cover over the outfit, the orange mm-hmm. jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. It just scared me, you know. Like I had never went through something like that. I remember losing like hair and everything.
Oh,
so
Lord.
I would tuck the covers in over the shirt.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'm sorry to rewind, but I remember going to the door, and the next morning the lady came and said, she came out the door and she had books mm-hmm. and newspapers that they read in solitary. I was at high risk because mm-hmm. my case was a national case, mm-hmm. which I didn't know it was a national case. I thought it was small. They never told me who was all in my case when they picked me up.
Wow.
So they put me in prison. They picked me up first because they don't want you reaching out. Mm-hmm. So they picked me up first. I watched 7 days of my life get snatched out. I lost everything in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I watched my agent, my team, my contract. Everything.
Because you're in the NBA.
I lost everything.
Yeah.
I lost literally everything. I sat in that prison, and this woman came by, and she looked in there, and I didn't cry until this point. Like, all that was going on, and I was trying to hold her together. This lady came by and gave me a mother feeling. This lady looked at me, and she said, hey, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
She said, come to the door. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you don't supposed to be in here, huh? And from there, I was like, she said, what you do? And I couldn't even tell her.
Couldn't even tell.
And she just told me. She was like, I've seen everybody. I see a lot of people. And I'm up. She's up there in solitary with them. With the crazy ones.
Well,
on.
Really?
Right.
That
so
the ones that walking, really need to be there.
So she's walking through there. And she just told me to come to that door. And she slid it. She said, I got the book for you.
What'd she give you?
A Bible. And from that, I just broke down. And then one of the officers come in the next morning. They didn't know who I was. And they come by the next morning and said, man, do you know your case is all over the TV? I think Barry Bonds was on that during that time.
Because all of this is around the same time.
Yeah, it was on national TV.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was this big.
Yeah.
He slid the paper under the door. They had
no idea.
This is when I knew everything was going to change in my life. They had a huge college picture of me on USA Today, laying the ball up. Boom. Just exploded. Like, so now I have to sit in this prison.
And you know what the bad thing is? And that's why, another reason I just want to say why I do the podcast. It's because I always said to people, I don't want anyone writing my narratives.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're looking at USA Today,
mm-hmm.
they have no idea, because there's someone writing your story. And who can better write your story than you?
I had never spoke. I had
never spoke
about this case. They had
a whole everything.
They ate me. And then just like I'm telling you, see, this is how they try to correlate it. Like I'm telling you, I was poor and everything. Yeah. They pulled that together. They went through articles.
This is why he did all of this. And he's such an awful person. Yeah.
And then the conflict I had with my team, my injuries, all this, it was like, well, he wasn't going to NBA. All this, they combined it and made a story. And then I'm coming from a LA market. Mm-hmm. So that's even more
media,
you know. So it's like they're really good out there. Oh, so to bring it back up to prison, I went to solitary. So when I got to Mississippi, they didn't have bed space. I had to go to solitary, which I knew this was gonna break me. These people told me there's no bed space. You would literally have to wait 3 to 4 months to get out of here. That's all my time. I only got 6 months. Right. I already did 2 months. Right. They're about to make me do 3, and then if a bed come open. First of all, when I walk in, it's probably 20 people already back here. They were sending everybody there. They didn't have space.
Didn't have space. Overcrowded.
Let me tell you how God works.
Let's see. Come on.
Let me show you. Come on, God. Let me show you how he came back. Came. I literally was breaking.
Yeah.
I was in the room with some random guy from Dallas for solitary. And I'm breaking. I'm like, dude, I can't do this for 3 to 4 months. That's my entire bid. Yeah. That's not where they sent me. Why would they send me here with no bed space? I'm going through all this. And literally, let me tell you, on my 7th day, it was a Friday. About around my 7th day, because if you don't lock in mentally, you're going to break here. Mm-hmm. I told myself, I was up. I was on top bunk, and I'm praying. And I'm just like, I say, you're going to have to do it. Because if I don't lock in my mind, I'm a struggle. Mm-hmm. So I told myself, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. Literally, when I said amen, the officer knocked on that door. He said, Johnson, pack out. Hold on. He said, pack out. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, get your stuff. They say you've been causing problems down here. Right. So they, when I get to the people, they said, they giving me this paperwork, said, we got to bring you out. They say you've been causing problems. So listen. Before I went into solitary that night when they brought me there, by the time I got on a bus and they took me there, they had me, they said, well, you don't get phone calls. I'm like, well, I just need, he said, I'm going to give you one phone call. I called my mother.
Right.
I called my mother. And you know, she know her background. She knows a lot for this department, right? So I gave her one, he was like, you want to call your lawyer or your mother? I called my mom because I know that she's going to go to a certain extent that my lawyer don't know how. Right.
Yeah.
So my mom's, so when I get down there, everybody's like, you've been causing problems. They say you've been kicking on the wall. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I see everybody from solitary coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
They make us sign a letter. They, the people, let me tell you how God works. So all these people, these are real gangsters that's coming out of here. They just been sent there, no bed space. When they come out, they sign all these paperwork to be put out here in the real. Because we was going to camps and things like that, but we was going to have to sit in solitary. So we had to sign paperwork to say we okay if something happened on the yard, because they put me in a low. Mm-hmm. Now I'm in a higher security.
You so what I'm saying? When so it's I'm low that. Is...
When it's low, you can call it safe, but you just have... You can move... When it's low... Oh, no, the low is like real life.
That's
it's just you got low, medium... Maximum.
Maximum. Okay.
So I was in the low, but I was supposed to be at a camp. But when I signed this paperwork, I'm out here on the yard now, you know. Okay. So I'm in there with.
So you with the real deal.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going through that process. But the crazy thing is, all those guys, like 20 or 40 guys, coming up out of there, and the officer said, "Y'all better thank Johnson. He got y'all out of there." I'm like, "What?" So I finally talked to my mom. She had called these people every day. Literally every day, making sure they got to get me out of there, because that's not what the judge sentenced me to. He sentenced me to a camp. You get what I'm saying? So they finally brought me out of there. Let me tell you how God worked. With them doing that and them people that was going to be there for a long time, they immediately took hold. Like, we got him. You good? Like, so they gave me a pass with all the inmates. All those inmates that came out
that
of there,
came out of
they
solitude.
Knew, like, I'm like, I, y'all you're got out because of
we
me.
We all out of here.
So that moment happened.
So now really that's another form of protection over you.
Yeah.
Because and you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
They so they understood. They knew the system.
Right.
They kind of.
Right. So this is when I told you about the relation towards the Bible when he went in with his talent. So I finally get out there. I finally make the yard. I get out there. I spread my, you know, I'm like Superman with the sun coming to him. Like, I had been in solitary. It's dark. You stay in one room 24 hours. So finally I make it out. And I'm just like, I go to the yard and I see a basket, you know, because I heard they tell you all these beautiful stories about the yard.
Yeah.
And this is going to just the yard. But the people that are in transit telling you all the amazing stories about the yard because you can breathe.
You can breathe.
You can go work out. You can go to classes. You can go to work.
It's really, even though you are behind bars, you're free.
Yeah, I don't want to confuse people with.
We don't want to be like, it's amazing.
No, that's not. But when you're in that position,
but when you by yourself you in the dark the for 24 hours with no light.
Yeah, yeah.
That's some life.
Yeah, yeah. And I never understood solitary, but you have to be so ready. And like I said, that day I had made my mind up, God came knocking. And they let me out. But so fast forward, I finally get out. I couldn't wait to see a basketball court.
Yeah, of course.
So I get to the court. I haven't, you know, they let you order stuff. This is my first day. I haven't even got a chance.
Even know.
But I get out there in these little van looking shoes, and I'm out there playing a little bit. And I play like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And these people have been playing. You know, the federal system is not just, it's not bombs like that. These people can, you know, they got some talent. It's just you've been caught.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're talented people in their own sense, you know. And I play like 10 minutes. And when I get back to the units, it took off like that, like Twitter. Like they have their own work.
So now you're a dang on NBA basketball star in prison.
I'm talking about full out. They literally had people.
So now everybody want to play games.
It's a basketball league.
It's a league.
So they would call like they made them after NBA teams. They would be like Miami, such and such. Go down to the yard. Yeah. You play at 5:30.
Okay.
So I'm going down there and I'm walking. And I don't know how people. I end up playing against like one of the best players on the yard.
Okay.
And I was like, I really did him bad, you know. So, but I'm not thinking this.
Does he want to get you for that?
No. Let me tell you this. I end up. This kid is out. You can call him to this day.
Yeah.
I was training him in prison. Huh. He tried to rob a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Went to prison. Mm-hmm. Got in there. His cellie. He wanted to play basketball. The guy was a lawyer. He wrote Sports Illustrated. They published his story. When I got there, I was moving, and he knew like. That's not how we move in here.
Yeah.
So immediately he leashed on to me.
So y'all, you know.
Yeah, these I got like five friends out right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, Young Buck the rapper was one of my cellmates. So it was so many things that transpired and through that process. And then towards the ending, I had my name for his basketball world. I got so big.
Inside the
warden
prison.
Was coming out.
Are you serious?
Because ESPN called and tried to come into the prison to do a story on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when they tried to do a story, she said, no, we can't have cameras in here.
Yeah.
But that sparked her attention. So she called my counselor, like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Da, da, da. So. And I'm walking around. I don't tell no one I play basketball.
Right.
Not one person
knows
I play for nothing.
So no one's like saying, hey, I'm here for.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
everybody's
yeah.
just doing my
yeah,
time.
Yeah, just doing my
Let's
time.
Just get out of here.
Yeah. Okay. And it was crazy. Like, it was the greatest. You know what? I told my dad before I went in, we said I hadn't seen him in a long time. We sat in the backyard. And he was like, how you feel? I said, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm ready to go. Yeah. And I said, I'm happy. He was like, it's so confusing. I was like, no, but I feel happy because I had went through this whole journey through this case. And I knew on on May 31st, I had to go to prison. That was my sentence date. And when I got there, I was like, I can start my clock. I said, I got to survive for 6 months. And I
so
can
it's
go
like
live,
a restart.
Yeah, I can go live my life.
Yeah.
And I had been held. They labeled me I went to China. They labeled me as a flight risk. They wouldn't let me leave. So when that happened, now I can't make no money. Everyone else in my case are financially stable. And these are grown men.
Right,
so they're not playing
so
ball.
You're like, let me get this over with. I'm going
to And that's why I did it. I was going to go to trial. But for me to have to explain this to a jury, like, I'm just
BSing.
How
much this going to delay what I'm trying to do?
I had got a deal from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to come out for $15,000 a month. And they was going to give me like 25 after the 3-week process.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew from there I would be okay. They pushed my sentence up so I couldn't go. I said, you know what? Let's get this over with.
Yeah.
And I found out about open pleas. And that's when I would have been there. I'm going to tell you what I did.
Yeah.
I'm not signing. Because I told them when I went in that interrogation room, I sat with them. I said, I'm going to give you everything you're looking for.
Right.
But I don't know what you think I know.
Right.
So they was mad at me because it was like, you didn't point. I was like, man, listen, no matter what you say to me, I know. I said, I can go do, I would do 10 years and stand on that. I didn't point shave. I know what you're talking about.
Right.
But if you think I went in this game and try to determine the outcome, dude, you're crazy. Yeah. And I was going to take years for that.
Yeah.
And I stood on that. And that's what took that case so long. If I say I point shave, the mafia and all this, they tie it all in. Two or more people is a conspiracy. So I got hit with conspiracy charges. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And I took that, like, I had noticed. I reached out to him. I had conversations about it. But if I know everything that's going to be on a microscope, you're not going to say it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are saying things. If it just so happened to happen and they have that recorded, my phones was tapped. Everything was tapped.
So it's just like a fight that you felt, that part isn't worth it. I know personally, I should have never had a conversation.
Yeah,
I'm going to do my time for that.
Yeah, yeah, but I also, this is the level I think on. I hurt a lot of people through my process. I took advantage of a lot of people through my process and trying to get to where I was. You know, I sinned a lot. So I looked at it bigger than the case held its weight.
You were deeper than that.
Yeah, the case held its weight, but I looked deeper to the point, oh man. I got a lot of things I need to fix, and it matured me from.
But see, a lot of people don't understand that God had gifted you with something other, you know, something deeper where you were able to be, you know, intuitively say, you know what, just because I did X, Y, Z, I'm going to go ahead and accept this.
Yeah. What makes you special?
But really, let me tell you this. It wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't that surface stuff.
It was because
that's easy. We can point fingers.
My case was easy.
It was easy. But he was like, I just need to remove you.
Oh, man.
And I need you right here because and this is one of the things I always tell people. I believe that God gives you every desire of your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not come out the way you plan for it to be, but the desires of the heart is that, Lord, will you protect me? Mm-hmm. Lord, will you help me? I need to come. I need to know you. And yes, I want to be able to be financially stable because he gave you that.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to be ready.
But you wasn't going to. He knows. That's ready. What I'm saying. He gives you that, but sometimes it takes a little bit of a journey, and what he knows it.
What I would have did with that money, like I said, this is... Yeah. I don't mean to go backwards, but in that time frame, I knew, like, when I'm honest with myself, I wasn't there with my son how I should have been. That time that I took that case, I couldn't leave. Yeah. It gave me time. I'm dropping him off at school. So when I'm looking at the case, what makes you special if you can look so much deeper? And I knew from there.
Yeah.
I ride sometimes smiling because I know what God's been giving
me. But you know what the blessing is? That you can see.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we're just driving so fast, we don't even see it.
Yeah.
And so that
it's a roller coaster.
It's a roller coaster. Yeah. It's a blessing. It's a beautiful journey. Yeah. So glory to him. Yeah. So you go, you finish, you do your time.
Mm-hmm.
You get out on what day?
Oh, man. November 22nd.
I went to the
halfway house.
Uh-huh.
And Lil Wayne's my favorite artist, just saying that. And he had just dropped the album. The day I got out, he drops the album. But what's crazy, so God forgive me. Not God forgive me in that sense, but I was at the halfway house. And I had to make, the hardest moment for me was I had to make a decision. Either you're going to quit or you're going to play this game.
Because you still, I'm finished business.
This is how far I was focused and locked in on my journey, where I'm getting up at 6:30 every morning playing like I'm not going to prison. Yeah. I trained so much in that prison on top of before I even went to prison when they said I couldn't go play. I was up at 6:30 training with pros, training with everybody. And then I go to prison. You know, then I'm out and I'm just halfway house. You got to go find work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll write down LA Fitness, 24-hour fitness. Mm-hmm. But I had coaches picking me up, players picking me up, and we'll go train with John Lucas.
That's how we reconnected because I was teaching yoga to
They was
the
bragging
players.
About you. It was like, come yoga. Everybody was excited about yoga. And then I came there early and I walked in and saw you. I'm like, my anus? I'm like, y'all been talking about my anus. But on they like, man, it's cold yoga instructor. So This is a side note. They like, man, she tough. You gotta come see the yoga. I didn't even come for yoga. Yeah. I came to see the instructor.
Who is
and
this?
Then I walked in. I'm like, y'all talking about my man, I'm about to go home. Man,
I didn't even know that.
They was telling me to come, and you know all the pros, and they're like, man, the yoga instructor.
Everybody was so nice, and they John said, don't even, because you know he called. called me pastor.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
I'm sitting there just teaching my heart out.
Nah, they like yoga. I mean, eventually, but I know when they tell me, they was like, bro, the yoga instructor looks nice, you know, da 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 da. And I come in there, I came with my bag, I had my tights on. I say, my auntie, I'm about to go, man.
So that's how you and I reconnect.
That's when I had finally seen you again. Yo.
Yeah, crazy. So you start working out with John and everybody.
John Lucas, I love him to death. He don't know how much I love him, but he don't know how hard it was during that time. He kept me centered.
Yeah.
Because it was a place to go to keep my mind.
Yeah.
Because through them years, man, it's a moment where you want to quit. Like, I made so many decisions not to quit, and that's the biggest gift God had given me, to not quit. And if I can motivate anybody, man, that's the story I want to. Yeah, yeah, because I went through so much, and I tell people, man, I'm like a chameleon because I can blend with both sides.
Yeah.
I talk to kids to this day, and they want to give me this tough speech, and I'm like, I already witnessed it.
I already did it.
You know, it's a
different... You touch more people when you walk the journey instead of talk about the journey.
And and they start talking. I'm like, I already did prison.
Yeah.
I did that. I had that moment. I got a child. I watched my son in a hotel room with the mother of my child. Struggling, you know, I had to face so many things where I had to come to terms. I remember, I think it's the bottom of the brook or something, the Bible or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the lowest point you think can help you as a spirit. Somehow that stuck out. You know, you ever watch TV at night and they put it out in bold letters? They got all these words, but one of them stuck out to me. I remember being there. I remember going through so much, man. And
well, that's what makes us real.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? When they're speaking to you, it's coming from experience, passion, wisdom.
Yeah.
And the greatest gift is that, you know, you can feel my heart.
You can really relate. Yeah.
You know,
and it's not fake.
And you know it. You know it.
It's genuine. And when I speak to a lot, I remember I went to speak one time with some NFL players and NBA players. And I had just got out. They saved me for last. And I spoke. And I remember being a fan of the people that was on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said go out, take pictures and all them, I had a group of kids, so I had so many people around me, and I remember looking out and seeing the NBA players and the NFL players take pictures.
Yeah.
You know, and it just made me that from that day, I remember it was at a high school, and I was just like, oh. You know, it just opened my eyes.
Because the vulnerability and the truth, when we kind of remove our mask and we're like, here, I'm here to help you. People know that and they respect that. And I definitely do. And I love you to death. I'm telling you, it's so inspiring to me to just watch you turn into the man that you are.
I'm trying.
No, you're doing a beautiful job. So I just want to kind of wrap it up with, so you work, you train hard, you go over, you play overseas professionally, and you are the, you know, I don't say too many bad words, but he is the, you know what, I'll let y'all fill it in, overseas, you know, and just done some phenomenal work over there, breaking all kind of records, people know you, and... So how has that experience in that full circle moment of still being able to do something you love?
Man, words can't describe. I don't really, you know, I have my moments when I'm by myself and I try to reflect sometimes. But I remember going my first deal overseas when I got out of prison like 2 weeks and I went to Lebanon. I remember my first game coming up the court. Literally tears. And they thought it was sweat. But I was coming up and I saw the crowd going crazy. And to be away from the game so long and for that to be my first moment, man, it was historical to me. And I remember like it was yesterday because I had went so long waiting on that day, training in prison, training at the halfway house and, you know, trying to get prepared. Then I started coaching kids, AAU teams. And when my moment finally came, man, it was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable to say that nothing broke you.
I survived it.
That you survived.
Man, that was
by the grace of God.
Grace of God.
By the grace of God.
And I'll tell you, when I was telling you about, I saw my college coach, I mean my middle school football coach, and he saw me later after my case. I mean, later through my case when I came from college. And I remember him saying to me, like, boy, you used to always be praying, giving glory to God. You would never let us play a game without praying. And that's what I did. That's what I forgot in college. I removed myself.
I think you forgot.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't forget God, but I forgot.
You weren't praising him.
I wasn't.
You weren't
having
that intimate.
I wasn't connected. And the thing is, the older you get, you become conscious. And when you become conscious, you held accountable.
Yeah.
But when you're not, I remember when I wasn't conscious.
I
could do whatever
you
I want
whatever
at a fast pace, and I never took a wrong
and you
turn.
Learn quick.
But when I but when I took when I became conscious of my wrongs and hurting people and doing things like that, I have got so far away from God to the point when that man said that, I literally went to the tattoo shop and put it on my arm and told myself I would never. And that's why you look at my website and say glory to God.
Well,
every morning
day,
I say glory to, because I remember when I didn't give him praise.
It won't be another day.
Not again. I told myself, I say no matter what, no matter what I'm going through, don't matter what, I'm going to give him his credit. And I knew it when that man said it. Was so random, and he probably don't even know it stuck with me. It was so random. It was, we was moving like that, and he was like, boy, you used to always make sure we pray and all. And I remember how connected it was in middle school. So by the time I got to, and the process was, when you go through experiences like that, you start believing it's yourself. And it's human nature, because to come so far and you don't see, you don't physically see people or God literally helping you. And I knew, like I said, I was in California by myself. In my process, no one sat there and was like, I'm going to work for a scholarship.
Let me stop. You were never by yourself.
Right.
Because he was always
with
you. And that's really, at the end of the day,
that's
the moral to our stories and our journeys. And that, you know, we figure those things out, that people are going to come and go in your life. And they're going through their own stuff. And... but when you know that there is someone who is the same yesterday,
every day,
today,
oh my God,
and tomorrow, and that, look, I'm tearing up, that everything that he promises you, he will do. And I get excited because I know that you have strong faith. You always have. You've always been different. You really have. Like, just that little spark and that light around you. And it is such a blessing and an honor that I get to call you my family.
Oh, man.
And I thank you so much for sharing your story of inspiration to so many people. Most importantly, your son. That right there, you break the generational curses, as we say. When we learn and we grow, and we go and we inspire and we encourage others. And we don't allow our stories to put guilt and shame and condemnation on us. Because you know why? For us believers, we know that he nailed that to the cross. So
it's,
you were
going
to succeed. It's only one judge.
I told him that.
It's only one judge. And he is the one who has written the script to our stories. Nobody get to tell you what you're not going to do when he tells
you
you can do it all.
But you know it's only one judge.
So I'm excited. I want you guys to know that Brandon is just amazing. And I hope that you were inspired. He's a motivational speaker. His website is brandonsboldjourney.com. Okay, so please go visit that. Get them to come and speak to some of these kids, and not only kids, the grown kids, the adults who hadn't done their work yet, but you know, those stories inspire, and that's why we do what we do here at Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me so much.
And we will have him on again and again and again. And visit his websites, brandonsboldjourney.com. Again, speaking engagements. He's good with helping, you know, inspire kids as far as training and all of that good stuff. And you're getting ready to go back overseas pretty soon, too.
Yeah, I'm getting ready for my next shift.
We're going back. Hey, I'm going to come and see you.
I got plenty of room space. You guys, all y'all got to get is the ticket. If you guys want to come hang out.
I'm kind of
When you come, send me a care package. I like Sour Patches and Cheetos.
All right. I'm writing it down right now.
But like I say, man, I go to Oklahoma in a few days. I'm supposed to speak up there. If you guys are in the city or in the town, if you're looking, listen to the pod, just come out, check it out, man. I'll give you guys a date soon. Hopefully she have me back home.
I
love my auntie. She's amazing. Wish you guys the best of luck out there if you're listening, man. And I appreciate you guys having me.
All right. God bless. Thank you, my dear.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I hope that Brandon's story and his testimony inspired you as much as it inspired me today. It is such an honor and a privilege to sit down and have conversations and share stories of encouragement, perseverance, and most importantly, faith and never giving up. If you know anyone who would be inspired by Brandon's story, feel free to share this podcast. That's why I do it. Thank you again. Y'all have a blessed week. Until we meet again.